Thank you for listening to the Fields Brothers Show.
Well, Jeff, I got to warn you now. I've just got a real collection of stuff over here. I mean, I'm just all over the place. But anyway, I'm Roger Fields.
And I am Jeff Fields.
We're the Fields Brothers, broadcasting from Central Kentucky at Moonlight Fields Wedding Farm. As obviously even the most casual listener, this is unedited. We don't have time for that, so the way you hear it is the way it happened.
And we've got ice outside, so I may be stuck here. You may have to put me up for the
night,
Roger.
We may be doing a lot of podcasts before the this thaws out.
We may go and do about 4 months worth of podcasts.
We may get 4 months of podcasts under our belt here.
Thaws here so.
And, well, Jeff, I don't talk about the fact that, at least I have it for a long time, that I do real estate. I'm a realtor. Okay, but I got to tell you, I just had something that just really struck me as funny this week. Okay, and so you know, I don't know if you know this, but you own real estate. You know, I'm selling the house. I've got a seller. You know, I represent them, and the buyer does an inspection, and they're not supposed to give you a bunch of trivial stuff because every inspector finds a bazillion little things with your house. Yeah. They always will tell you, you know, if it's a big deal with a roof or the foundation, electrical, plumbing, something like that. You know, so anyway, I got this petty little list of stuff back that was just most realtors wouldn't do. But this realtor, one of the things on the list, Jeff, is that there was no rubber stopper in the bathtub drain. They wanted us to get a licensed plumber to put a rubber stopper in the bathtub drain.
So didn't the little lever that you lift up and down?
Yeah, they didn't have that. Some of them just have a stopper. You know, they just wanted a rubber stopper. That's all they wanted.
Okay.
It's a rubber stopper in the bathtub drain. Okay.
You don't need a plumber for that. You can just Lowe's and buy that.
Well,
My first question was,
is that where we're at as a nation now? We got to have a license. I mean, you know, we got a lot of crazy stuff going on. Really? I mean, like, you know, is that where we're at? Am I going to, you know, is the sheriff going to show up at the door someday and say, we have some unauthorized rubber stopper installations going on in here? And, you know.
A lot of them just have the little round disc, rubbery disc thing that just lays over it and does the same job.
Yeah, I don't know if they would have been happy with that or not.
So what did you do?
Well, let me tell you one other thing. All stuff runs through my mind. I don't know if your mind works. So then I'm thinking, you know, I don't even know how to make this phone call. How do I call up the say, we got a situation over here on Elm Street. And no, we don't have a busted pipe flooding the intersection. You got anybody licensed over there
call
to come
911.
Over and put in a rubber stopper and a bathtub? We're just not sure, you know, we can do it right. Can you?
That's especially ironic of how quickly houses sell. I mean, if that's going to keep you from buying a house, then you don't want the house.
Well,
you know,
they were just trying to manipulate some things. Actually, it was kind of a ploy. But anyway, that just struck me as so funny, you know. And I called them out. I said, you want a licensed plumber to put a rubber stopper in the bathtub drain?
I mean, they specifically said licensed plumber?
Yes, in a contract. I mean, there's a signed and dated contract. It's, you know, it's a response, part of the contract. Licensed plumber. And I said, well, we're not going to do that.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty short conversation. No, we're not going to do that. Next topic. You know.
The conversation was we'd actually had already put the stopper in the bathtub. We'd noticed that after the inspection. But anyway. Hey, let me tell you what else happened to me this week. The things happened on Facebook to me. I'm not always sure how to respond. I don't know if it happens to you, but I get messages from people. A lot of times they're, you know, they're ministers. Sometimes they're in the States. Sometimes they're in other countries. And we're friends on Facebook, and I don't know these people. And they will message me and try to encourage me. And I always appreciate the encouragement. You know, hey, we're praying for you and all that. Thank you and all that. Well, then I had one that said, hey, I hope you're doing well. I have prayed and dispatched angels to work on your behalf.
Hmm. Okay. How many?
And I thought, okay.
How many angels?
Well, he didn't say. He just dispatched angels. And I thought, okay, you know, is it rude just not to reply at all? I mean, he obviously is trying to encourage me, which I appreciate.
Right.
And then I thought, do I just say thank you? I mean, as if I believe that he has. So then I thought, you know, I think we need to have a discussion about this. All so right. I said something to the effect of, you know, where do you get the authority to dispatch angels on behalf of somebody? And so then he sent me the scripture.
I'm sure he was ready for that.
Yeah. Oh, well, he sent me a scripture was it Gabriel, right? Not my Gabriel that came to Mary. And
I'm a little rusty on my Bible knowledge.
I think it was Gabriel. And that came to Mary to tell her that she was going to have a child. And I said, is that your scripture? I said, God sent the angel. There's nobody that dispatched that angel. And he said something else. I said, you know, you don't have the authority to, because then I thought, you know, you just, I don't think it's right to mislead people and give people the impression that you're doing something for them that you can't even do. And so I said, you know, I said, you don't have the authority to dispatch
angels. Did he call them back then?
And so, no, he didn't. You're so cynical. No, he didn't. No. So then I was trying to be as gentle and loving, but I said, you know, that's just not right. You can't do that. And so then he questions my salvation. He said, well, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God who came in the flesh? I said, yes, I do. Absolutely. He's my Lord and Savior. He goes, well, praise you, brother. And that was kind of the end of it. I've never heard from him since, you know.
So it's not someone you knew personally,
no,
right?
I have no idea. But yeah. That's most of the people on my Facebook. I don't know personally.
I probably would have just said, well, I appreciate your...
Well, and a lot of times I do stuff like that. And I thought, you know, but...
Well, okay, I will not be dispatching any angels your direction then, now that I know that.
You know, well, I said to him, I had the Spirit of God living in me, and I have, you know, and I said, I don't think I need somebody to dispatch angels. And I tried to say it in a way, but you know, there. I think, maybe I'm wrong, I think there is a little bit of a problem with Christians who either they're either ministers or they're people who try to encourage you, that will just say things if it just sounds good. Mm-hmm. You know, there's people who say, I prayed and a breakthrough is coming, and God has shown me a breakthrough is coming on your behalf. Now, I think, how do you know that? And are you're saying that because you want to be perceived as somebody who's a real encourager, somebody who is kind of on the God's inside track? And I just think that's wrong. You know?
I think all of that kind of comes back to just not. I think sometimes, and again, yeah, I'm sure there's areas in our lives as well, but in our thinking that's. Obviously not 100% correct, but of just being able to trust God in what he's already done through the cross and who he's already made us. We're one with him. He's in us. We're in him. And they're just relaxing.
But that's not enough. I got to dispatch angels.
Right, right. So it's either that we're not complete. We're not there. It's not finished. Okay.
And there's another part. That's another thing that hits me that I don't know how to handle. Sometimes I heard this is the second time this week. It seems like everybody has their own definition of what they think the golden rule is, which the term golden rule is not in the Bible anyway. Mm-hmm. I think goes back to a pastor in the 1700s that came up with the term golden rule. And basically that is, you know, he said, it's what Jesus said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And that's really what people recognize as the golden rule.
Yeah.
But people kind of put a lot of things under that umbrella. So I heard a podcast or a broadcast where somebody was a video on something, some social media thing. They said, you know, just like the golden rule says, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all.
I didn't realize it had been expanded.
So I'm thinking, no, I think that's the silver rule. I think the golden rule. And I think, am I just too snarky? I mean, and then somebody else says something else just this week about something, and I forget what their definition of the golden rule was, but it wasn't the traditional definition of the golden rule. And I'm thinking, I guess you could just say whatever it is because, you know, the term's not in the Bible anyway, so maybe it doesn't matter.
I mean, you are aware of the phrase about the golden rule as it relates to finances in the world, that he who has the gold makes the rules.
Yeah, I heard that.
You see that in real estate. So if someone's getting a mortgage or a loan, you know, you're at the mercy of the loan company because they have the money. They have the gold, and so they set the rules.
All right. Now I have a real deep question for you, Jeff.
Oh, I'm ready. I'm all about deep questions.
Now, this is it. Embrace yourself.
Okay.
Here's my question. Why are there no – now, I told you this is an eclectic mix of stuff. All right. I mean, I'm all over the place. Why are there no B batteries?
So we got D batteries are the big ones, right?
And you got Cs.
You got C's. We use those a lot. You got AA. AAA. You got single A, triple A. You got the...
There's no B's.
What are the square kind? What's the square kind?
9-volt.
9-volt. Why don't they have a letter?
Well, I don't know.
9B. But there's just no B batteries.
There's just no B batteries. I'm just thinking that they have A's, C's, and D's, no B's. I figured if anybody would know that.
Well,
you would know.
I mean, I could explain it to you, but it would take too long on the podcast here. So.
All right. Wait
another time for that one. Just make that an entire topic sometime for a podcast when we have more time to go in depth in that. So
yeah. Hey, I got one more little quirky thing here. Then I have kind of a thing that's a little more serious, a little more current event related too. And that is, you know, this week I bought some razor blades from Sam's. Okay, and I brought this package of razor blades.
Sam's in business and Walmart.
Oh yeah, I go to Sam's all the time. Okay. And I'm a lot more than I'm in Walmart. But it's like, and I'm telling you, it took practically a blowtorch to get through the packaging to get these razor blades out. I mean, it was a clamshell, plastic clamshell with the cardboard around, real thick, strong cardboard. And there's no way to open that. I thought, well, I get scissors. I got scissors. Scissors would not make a dent in this cardboard. We had these kind of industrial size scissors. Could not open it with that. Had to get a knife out with these teeth on the knife and saw through the plastic clamshell to get these razor blades out. And then it just dawned on me, when did we as a country decide that to tamp down, you know, stealing into parcels, we would, you know, put up with any kind of packaging? I mean, it's just, I just think it's just nuts.
I've got a thing at the home I used. Mom got, and I'm pretty sure she got you one too. Mom and Dad got us this for Christmas several years ago, and I'm sure she got you one too. It's green. It has various things on it, but one of them is, you know, it's kind of like a little cutting thing.
I have no recollection of this.
It's very handy, you know, to open.
So Mom got you this, but I don't think she got me this.
I think she did too. I think she got both of us. It's a Christmas present.
What is it?
She got both of one. It's about probably 5 inches long or so, 5 or 6 inches long.
It's like scissors green. Or a knife or what?
Well, it's a combination of things. You pull out, and like on one end, you can pull out, and it's kind of like a box cutter on one end type of thing.
I do not remember this.
It has, you know, different, but one of the things is it's you can release it, and it's kind of like becomes almost a pair of cutting pliers type of a thing. And it'll, I bet it would have handled that if you would have kept Mom's Christmas gift to you.
Let that get away. I don't know. Maybe
you want to take time here, or do you want me to take time in this to tell me about, for me to mention about my my interesting situation with the state government and the unemployment?
Go ahead.
I'll try to make this quick because there's more to it that you don't know. Actually, I think it's getting resolved well. But I got my employer a few weeks ago, about a month or so ago, got a notice in the mail that I had filed, notifying them that I had filed for unemployment, which I hadn't. I'd never been unemployed before. Thankfully, I've been able to be employed in my regular job
now.
Are
you telling me the government made a mistake?
And so evidently someone, it was the fraud that they didn't catch. So someone filed for unemployment insurance in my name. And so we immediately notified our HR department, and there's, you know, they, whatever way they notify Frankfurt, this doesn't matter. Well, a week or so later, I get a letter in the mail saying that I've been approved for unemployment and I've been approved for like up to $14,000 of unemployment.
Even after they were notified.
Well, you know, I don't know if they ever got the notification or not.
But, okay.
And so meanwhile, I've tried to, you know, try to call them. You cannot call them. It's a recording. No. You cannot call the state unemployment office.
No.
And so I tried. There was a sheet that was supposed to be turned in. I faxed that back. There was a fax number on it. I wrote fraud all over it and said, you know, do not process this. Well, then lo and behold, a couple of days later, I get two checks in the mail made out to me. And fortunately, the silver lining at that point is I also got letters saying that their attempt to direct deposit did not work.
Huh.
So the crooks evidently had provided bank information, and some bank did their job and did not let it go through because it didn't match up well enough. But then I'm thinking, okay, what do I do with these checks now? You know, one was like 1,100 and some, the other was 600.
Well, we could use some new equipment here, Jeff, at the Fields Brothers show. I mean, you know.
So I tried to call again, and so I post on Facebook, and I told the story on Facebook that if somebody knows somebody, then have someone in Frankfurt, the unemployment. Frankfurt is the state capital of Kentucky. Have someone contact me. And lo and behold, someone that I knew from my days in Stanton when I was preaching, that's now that we're now friends on Facebook, her husband works in the state government.
Huh.
And he got in touch with someone. And so I saw an email that was sent to him. It was forwarded eventually to me. So I have a place now to mail the checks back to. And with an explanation, and that's supposed to take care of it because it's taxable income.
Yeah, so I was going to tell you that you're going to pay tax on it. You know,
and this time next year, I get a 1099 whatever.
Which you still could get. You know that, right?
Well, hopefully, if they, and they said they would classify, you know, they would make sure to classify. So hopefully that doesn't happen. But I've got the email trail if it does. But anyway, so that was kind of weird. And all the people that really do need unemployment insurance income and qualify for it cannot get it right now a lot of times. And they're backed up months and months and months. And then, you know, I'm trying not to get it because I never applied for it, and lo and behold, the checks start coming. So I haven't got today's mail. There could be another check out in the mailbox today.
Hey, I want to talk about something sad, and I have just a simple point to make from this that I think is important. You know, this week, a Christian leader who is, you know, revered around the globe passed away last May, and I'll tell you, it was Ravi Zacharias. Mm-hmm. It's come out, and his ministry has confirmed that he had a lot of problems and had been involved in a lot of stuff, with a lot of sexual misconduct. And I'm not going to tell you what all happened, but you can Google that. And here's my simple point for that, and that's not to throw him under the bus or whatever, but, you know, a lot of people are very, very dismayed over that. And here's my point. It is dangerous to have a hero in the Christian faith.
Yeah.
It's one thing to learn from people. We all should learn from people, you know. But any time you put anybody in a place where if it turns out that they stumble or they're not what you thought, when it affects you personally and your faith, that's a problem. And this is happening a lot. I mean, the sad fact is, because, I don't know if it's because of the times we live in or because of just how, you know, sometimes in Christian circles, we have so elevated people, whether it's a local pastor or international speaker or minister, that, and sometimes I've heard testimonies from people that, you know, things that he had said really brought them back to the faith. That, you know, God did use him to say some things to people that were very, very helpful.
And all that's true.
And that's all true, you know. And so, you know, it's there's several aspects of this. One is that, you know, I guess pretty much anybody can be vulnerable to really messing up. And secondly, it tells me that God can use anybody. You know, you can be a mess, and God can still, you know, I say use you, but God can work through you to affect other people's lives. But all I'm saying to listeners is, boy, just understand that whoever you look up to in the faith, they are still fallible and deeply fallible. You know, nobody is, you know, I look up to Jesus in a way. I kind of revere Paul because I think he was, but, you know, even Peter and John had some problems. I mean, even they're not, you know, just, but. I mean,
I bet Peter's wife could tell you some stories.
I mean, you know, and it's just,
it just
hit me again.
Makes me think of the verse of 1 Corinthians, you know, that I follow Peter, I follow Paul, I follow Apollos. And, you know, that wasn't in that context, but, you know, it applies there, I think. And it really, it also makes me think of that, the tendency. The verse that comes to my mind fairly often is verse, see, the 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy, I don't remember once. There's one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. And, you know, Israel wanted a king. They weren't content with just God to be their king. They wanted a king, and so God gave them a king. But we still kind of want a king. We want someone in between us and God that's here on earth, you know, physical person. And we kind of feel if we can get close to them, then we're closer to God. And we want another. We try to find mediators in someone, and I think it's one of the. And so there's one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. And that's one of the things, you know, I think has been helpful for me in understanding grace and the new covenant. And there's certain teachers that we admire and have been very helpful, but I honestly think that when I benefit from them, I'm not. I'm more and more impressed with Jesus Christ, and more impressed with who He is and what He did. And the individual speakers or preachers or authors, are not that, you know. Yeah. They're signs. They point us to the one who is. So hopefully we're learning that.
It's kind of like, you know, with Peter, you know, he made his confession, you know, that Christ is the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, you know, you didn't come with this on your own. You know, God revealed this to you. At that point, you know, Peter was still a train wreck as an individual. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was still, this is before he, you know, cut Malchus's ear off and does things. You know, God still spoke through him, you know. But I guess that's just my little encouragement is to just understand that they're still just people, you know. They're people that, for whatever reason, God may have spoken through them. But
I don't know if I mentioned this to you or not, but, you know, we went a little over a year ago. We were in Lubbock, Texas, and got to attend church without religion, where Andrew Farley preaches, and we obviously have a lot of respect for him and have learned a great deal for him, and he's not been caught in any scandals or anything like that, fortunately, and thankfully and all that. But we had the opportunity to eat lunch one day with a couple in the church that the man's an elder and has known Andrew. He was at the church before Andrew was there, and you know, he speaks very admirably of Andrew, but he made the statement. He said, you know, he's just a man.
Yeah.
And by that, he was saying that,
you know, as are all of us.
Yeah.
He's not
just a man, and saying that he's, you know, not without flaws, just like any of us. And so that really is a good reminder that there's one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. And right. Not to put too much. So
let me turn a corner again here. Okay. You know, I thought again, which I periodically go back to, just how incredibly how much of a game changer the cross was. Mm-hmm. You know, and we've talked about the fact of the things that happened on that day that didn't even happen on the day Jesus resurrected. Now, that was a pretty amazing day. But, you know, we have, you know, not only the sky goes dark without an eclipse, apparently. There's an earthquake, which earthquakes happen. And then you have the temple that's torn, you know, the veil's torn from top to bottom, which kind of signifies the end of that whole system, the end of religion. Mm-hmm. But then you have, and you never hear much about this, and you never, I've never seen this in any movie, never, which would be a fascinating aspect to some movie about this, but multiple people came out of tombs. Yeah. And resurrected. You never hear about that. I mean, have you ever heard that? I mean, it's something we just don't talk about. But the Bible's very clear that happened right. The day Jesus was crucified.
And they didn't even resurrect when he resurrected.
Yeah.
They resurrected when he died. So yeah. That makes it even more intriguing with that.
I mean, there were multiple families, and we don't know how many, but multiple families that all of a sudden, you know, their loved ones came walking through the door who had been dead. And without any explanation, nobody even prayed over them, apparently. Nobody was, you know, they just showed up alive. But the power, apparently, that was released when Jesus resurrected, and I believe that is the day that changed. I believe that's the day that was talked about in Psalm, where it says, this is the day the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
It was the day Jesus was made the cornerstone, and that's the day he died, according to the Bible. And so, you know, just... I mean, what a day.
It amazes me how public, and I've talked about this before, but how public that event was compared to the resurrection. The resurrection, now obviously he appeared afterwards, but the resurrection itself, I mean, if I would have been writing the script, I would have had a big crowd around that for that.
Right.
Hey, everybody, watch this. Here we go. But so I don't know what that says about, you know, I think our focus needs to be on the cross. You know, I think as we focus on the cross, we experience the resurrection. Okay, that's kind of coming together for me now, because like those people resurrected while he died. So as we focus on the resurrection, okay, so why focus on the resurrection? Because the resurrection is what took care of our sin once for all. And it also shows it keeps us away from the law. It keeps us from trying to do something ourselves. When we focus on the cross is saying, you can't do anything. I've done it all. Well, you can't do anything to bring yourself closer to God or to take care of your sin. I've done it all.
I still love the verse, Colossians 2, verse 14, that says Jesus nailed the law and its with its obligations and its demands on you, nailed that to the cross. And so there was more going on there than just the death of Jesus. And it just kind of, I don't know if the word saddens, but disappoints me a little bit. It points to me a lot. Then when I hear sermons and messages about the crucifixion, as if it was, well, that was a day it looked like a defeat. And you know, so the only thing they derive from that is, okay, they crucified Jesus, they killed him, but 3 days later, he's coming back, you know. And so their whole takeaway is, even if you have a defeated day, things go bad, you know, God is still in control, God's going to come back. And that's not a bad message, but the cross is so much more than that. And when Paul says, I determined to know nothing but Christ and him crucified. And when you look at all the scriptures that talk about the cross, crucified, crucifixion, I mean, there is a ton of scripture about that, a lot more than even about the resurrection.
And we'll tie this together with the earlier subject about not putting other people on a pedestal. In Galatians 6, he said, I boast about nothing except the cross, or Jesus Christ crucified, and I'm crucified to the world with him. And so that's their mediator. Jesus Christ died on the cross for us.
Well, I just think I'd love to see a movie sometime where they, you know, talk have about people that came out of the tomb. You know,
and what did they think? Did they realize? They wonder, why am I?
Yeah, I mean, you could do so much with that. I mean, think of the plot lines you can get out of that. All of a sudden, Henry shows up at the door.
What's Henry saying about this?
Yeah, well, how did this happen? That somebody else has somebody comes back, and all of a sudden, you got a whole bunch of people, and that, which apparently happened according to the Bible.
Did they know why they resurrected? Resurrected?
Yeah,
I don't know.
I mean, that was the day that changed everything. And reread sometimes 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and 2, when Paul really talks about the power of the crucifixion, how important that is. So anyway. And of course, don't forget Breaking the Hex, Life with God After the Cross Killed Religion. It's on Amazon.
And that subtitle comes from Colossians 2 that you just mentioned. So.